God is good. Amen. Sure, good to see you this morning. You glad to be here? That sounded a little reserved to me. You glad to be here? That's what I'm talking about. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that we can come into your presence. We are thankful for the opportunities we get to worship you like this, openly, freely. Father, I only wish it was more often we could come together in your presence, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, to worship you, the living God. We bless your name today. We worship you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. Oh, we need you. We need you in our churches, Lord, so I pray for your Spirit's guiding today, right here in ours, but in churches everywhere. Oh, we need you in America. We need you, Lord. Revive your church. Help us to be salt and light, just like Jesus commanded us to be, so that the world at large will see the good works of your people and glorify the name of our Father in heaven. Revive your church, O God. Glorify your name. Even today, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd encourage the weary. Save the lost. Redirect those that have been misdirected and misguided and maybe are on the wrong path. Set free the captives, the addicts. Comfort the lonely. Oh God, we pray. Glorify your name in our communities. Thank you for each person here today, Lord. Thank you for each person that I was at the earlier service. Thank you for people that are in churches all over. May we hear from you as we have come to worship you. And I pray for the people that didn't make it to church today, Lord. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're in the hospital. Maybe they're in jail. Maybe they don't want to go. Father, we pray for them today. Minister to them, Lord. Comfort them. Draw them near wherever they're at in life. Draw them near you, Lord. Help them to fall in love with Jesus. Father, you know what's on our hearts here today. And I just pray that we would be able to set those things of the week aside. Because we have come to worship you and to hear from you. And so whatever it is that burdens us or is causing us anxiety or pain today, Father, help us to lay that at the feet of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we worship you, speak to us, minister to us right where we're at. I pray in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'm going on vacation. And so I'm not going to be around much this week. I'll be around, but I'll not be around. And next week I'm going to be with you simply so I can introduce to you our guest speaker who is with us today. His name is Kevin Campbell. My brother, our brother, grew up in this town, left 35 plus years ago, went to California. Would it be fair to say found an opportunity to be in trouble once in a while? Kevin is going to speak to you. I knew him because I was in wrestling in Staples and he was in wrestling in Motley. He was just a little squirt. I've known him for a long time, but what God has done in his life is a miracle of transformation. And so Kevin will be speaking to both services next week. I hope that you will come and hear this story of transformation. And so, I'm going to be with you again next Sunday so I can introduce him. And he's going to share his story. It's a God story. And so, Kevin's here with us today just because he happens to be back in Minnesota for the first time in 30 years. Visiting his sister and looking at Motley and the changes. And next week he's going to share his story with us right here, both services. And so, we are here today to look what you might think is weird or out of place, but a story that happened on resurrection morning. I know it's not Easter. I know that. But you that have been around here any amount of time know that sometimes I do things out of the box. And so today, if you've got your Bible, turn in them to Luke 24. We're going to look at what you would normally classify or quantify as an Easter story. And the reason I have picked this story today is because I've been pondering what has happened in this story, what was said in this story. And I have been thinking, you know, when we watch the news, or when you read stories, or when you hear about what's happening, sometimes there is opportunity for discouragement. Am I right? Sometimes there is opportunity for discouragement. And so I have chosen this set of verses today for encouragement. You see, brothers and sisters, when we surrender completely to Jesus, we serve a God and we serve the Son of God who is an encourager. And He will come to you in your darkest moments and encourage. Today's topic happens to be about peace. He will bring you peace when it seems like there's no peace left. And so I thought today we would look for a little while at this resurrection morning story for our encouragement. Let's take a look at the story. I may or may not read it all. I read it all in the first service and we ran out of time. Now, there isn't another service going to happen after this one, so we may not run out of time. Our time may get... No, I'm just fooling you. You know, you on the second service, you know that I don't have to quit for another service. And so sometimes I don't, and I apologize for that. But anyway, this is a long story with a lot of reading, and I may or may not read it all. I think you know the story, but here we go. Luke 24... 13 to 39 is where the text comes from. And in this scripture text, I am going to say to you in four different places, listen and remember that quote. I will refer back to it. Here we go. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. This is resurrection morning. Okay? So they have seen the crucifixion. They have seen Jesus carted off to the tomb. They have been with the disciples when the ladies went down to the tomb and when they came back with the message, He's not there. So these two are walking to Emmaus and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. Do you suppose, brothers and sisters, that there are times in your life, mind, I've thought about this too, when we're walking through life, the road to Emmaus, so to speak, thinking we're all alone, and yet Jesus is right there with us. Have you been there? Thinking I'm all alone in this one. That's what they thought. I'm all alone in this one. Their eyes were restrained, the Bible says, so they did not know Him. And He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another and as you walk and are sad? Then one of those named Cleopas answered and said to Him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? He was incredulous at this comment. What are you sad about? But Jesus wanted to know their real hearts. He knew why they were sad. He knew the events. He was the subject matter of the events. And He wanted to hear their heart's cry. Where are you really at in this whole matter? And so after Cleopas said, "Are you the only one stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" Jesus said to him, "What things?" Drawing from him his heart. So they said, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers, they delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him." Now listen to this phrase. I want you to remember this one for later, a few minutes. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." We were hoping that it was he who was going to set us free. "Indeed," they go on, "besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe.'" I wonder sometimes when we're in that moment of saying, "Why, God?" Questioning what has happened. Or what didn't happen. I wonder how many times Jesus would come to Jim or to us and say, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. O foolish ones that haven't grasped what my word has said." I wonder how many times Jesus would come to us with the same words. "Slow of heart to believe, Jim. Slow of heart to believe, church, of what the Bible has said." Then he said, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them. And the conversation goes on. Let me paraphrase a little bit for time's sake. I don't know how many miles they walked together, but Emmaus and Jerusalem were 7 miles apart. From here to Staples. And at some point, while these two were walking along the pathway, dejected and forlorn, back to Emmaus, Jesus come alongside. They didn't know it. And for miles they walked together and they talked together. And Jesus opened up the scriptures to them and reminded them again all about himself. For miles they did this. And then they arrive at their home and he was going to go further. I'm paraphrasing now. You can follow along in your Bible. He would have went along. He would have kept going. But they said, "Come on in. Come on into our place. Come on in." And so they went in and they sat down. The Bible says, as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And immediately he vanished from their sight. And they had anxious conversation about what had just happened. He was walking with us the last 5-6 miles and we didn't even know it. They were having this conversation. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And so they got up out of their place and they raced back to Jerusalem, the 7 miles, and they come to the disciples and they said to the disciples, "He's arisen indeed, he's alive." They were excited and they got back there and they told him of all the things that had happened. And while they were telling this is verse 36. While they were telling them these things, the Bible says, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." I don't know if you can envision one of your darkest moments locked up behind closed doors. Wondering what to do next, dejected, and all of a sudden Jesus comes and says, "Peace to you." Have you been there? So have I. wondering, lonely, scared, hopeless. The disciples, of course, that night, this is a supernatural thing. Of course, he just appeared. The disciples were terrified, the Bible said, and afraid, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled?" Well, they could have said, "Well, for one thing, you just popped up through the doorway, and we thought you were a ghost. For another thing, we thought you're dead. We saw you get crucified." They could have had this long list, and Jesus reminds them, "Why are you troubled?" And sometimes we come up with all kind of excuses why we should be troubled, why we should let ourselves stay in that trouble and bask in that trouble when Jesus comes into our midst again and says peace. He says peace to us in our darkest hour. Why are you troubled, and why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your heart? He says, "Take a look at my hands and my feet. It is I. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." The point to this story is there are times in our lives when we are troubled. Amen? Some may be troubled today. There are times in our lives when we are troubled. Just like the disciples that day were troubled. All we got to do is watch the news for a little bit and we begin to get troubled all over again. Or read the latest articles. Or hear Supreme Court decisions. Or hear about Planned Parenthood. Or hear about Marines being shot. Or you name a thousand different things and we're troubled all over again. We're troubled at what we see. We're troubled at what we hear. And Jesus comes back to us, brothers and sisters, if we know Him, why are you troubled? I bring you peace, He says. I know the stories. I know your stories. And I know the ache. I know the heartache. I know the cancer. I know the death sentence. I know the loss of family. I know the loss of jobs and the loss of homes. I know the anxiety about the latest law. I know about that. And I've heard your stories, and we have stories, and we have trouble when we feel and see and hear these things. And Jesus comes to us and says, "Why are you troubled?" Now let me refer quickly to these phrases that I want to do before our time runs out. The first phrase I wanted to refer to, it says, "Their eyes were restrained." Have you ever supposed for a moment that sometimes our eyes are restrained for our benefit? Sometimes our eyes are restrained. We don't see and know everything intentionally because God knows what we can handle and what we can't. Their eyes were restrained, and I've wondered sometimes, have I thought about and have you thought about that maybe Jesus is actually protecting me from something that I'm not quite ready for? Their eyes were restrained that day for a while. They didn't know it was Jesus. They walked with Him, they talked with Him, and they didn't know it was Him. Maybe sometimes at your darkest moment, He sent somebody. Somebody as an angel, but somebody He sent to your darkest moment to walk with you and talk with you and comfort you. And your eyes are restrained, and we've got questions. Where are you, Lord? And He has sent somebody to be there with you. Phrase number 2, verse 21. "But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel." I know we have all been there. We are hoping. Here, let me rephrase it for us. Let me paraphrase it this way. "But we were hoping it would turn out differently than it did." Have you been there? "But God, I was really looking for a different answer to this part of my life. But God, I was wanting a different chapter in this book than what I'm going through right now. But we were hoping that it was He who would redeem Israel." We have felt the same way when we say in our hearts, "But I was hoping for something different. I was anticipating this and we got this. We have been there. We have felt just like the two on the road to Emmaus, dejected, given up on God, because we were looking for a completely different outcome. There are so many times when we have wished and hoped and said it to God, you'd have done something different, haven't we? We have longed for a different outcome. Sometimes we need to be reminded that God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes we feel very strongly we were hoping for something else, something different than what we got. And in essence, we're asking again, why, oh God? Why do we end up with this? Why this outcome? Why this decision? Why is he dead? And when we feel that way, we are in essence blaming God and saying he really doesn't seem to know what he is doing. And we feel, but we were hoping. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? We've been there. We were hoping for something a little different. Then the Bible says, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. There comes a point in our time, and perhaps Kevin will share with you next week, there comes a point in our lives when our eyes need to be opened to know him. To really know him. Their eyes, the Bible says, were opened and they knew him. We can trust him, friends, even when we don't see him walking by our side in the hardest part of life. We can trust him. If we know him as Lord, we can trust him. And then he enters into their presence and says, peace. It may be at your darkest hour. It may be when you are doubting most. It may be at a point when you feel you can't go any further. It may be precisely at those times that the Master comes into us and says, peace, if you'll trust him, if you'll let him. The disciples that day were confused. There has been days when we have been confused about our journey with Jesus. There has been days in our lives when we were confused about Jesus. They were confused that day. They were disoriented. They didn't know which way to turn next. The Master was gone. They were feeling abandoned. And they were feeling betrayed to some degree. And I suspect if we were honest with each other, we would say the same thing. When God didn't show up the way we had anticipated, when a prayer didn't get answered like we had anticipated, something went completely left when we were hoping it would go right, I suppose we have felt the same way, abandoned by God. That's how they felt. And then entered Jesus. He reminds us and says, peace, trust me. Then enters Jesus. It's precisely at those moments when we're feeling the most dejected that Jesus will come alongside and say, peace. If you really know him, friends, he will offer peace. Now let me just clarify for a moment, if I may. The world will offer you peace. You hearing me? The world will offer you peace. It'll say, it's a phony peace, but it will. Oh, if I just get me a new pickup, I'll have peace. Oh, if I just get me a new job, I'll have peace. Oh, if I just get me a new spouse, I'll have peace. Oh, if I just get rid of that one, I'll have peace. Oh, if my children will just do this or do that. Oh, if my boss. The world will offer you all these phony pieces of peace. But you're only going to find peace in Jesus. The world will offer you everything it can offer you, and it'll say to you, you want peace, you want happiness, and go ahead and get this. You want peace, and go ahead and do this. You want peace, go ahead and do that. The world will offer all kinds of peace, but there's only true, eternal, genuine peace in Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace, after all. And friends, if you don't know Him as Lord, you will never know the peace that He offers. We talked about love a little bit last night, and I said, last week, and I said, we can't love the way He wants us to love without Him in our lives. And we cannot, we will not ever know the peace that Jesus offers until we invite Christ to be Lord of our life. Only then will we know the Prince of Peace. The world will offer you all kinds. But only when we know Christ as Lord and we surrender to Him will we know peace. You say, yeah, but Jim, what about the condition of America? It's not going that well. We can still trust Him. Ezekiel, I could tell you stories about Ezekiel, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a whole lot more, that even went into captivity trusting Him and had peace because they knew Him. You could say, yeah, but Jim, you don't know my story. No, but God does. And if we will surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I assure you, per the Word of God, you will know peace like you've never known it before. Brother Art was just here, earlier service. We thought we'd never see him again. He was so sick and dying of cancer in the vet's hospital. He wheeled himself in here the last two Sundays in his wheelchair. And he's told me over and over as I have stood at his hospital bed, but I have peace. The peace of Jesus. We will never know that peace, friends, if we don't know Jesus. You say, yeah, but Jim, I got cancer, my loved one's got cancer, my spouse has got cancer, what else? We will still have the peace of Jesus in us when we know Him. Because even if we close our eyes in death because of cancer, having known Christ Jesus as Lord, we get a promotion. Amen? We can know the peace, brothers and sisters, in spite of an angry world, a hurting world, a dying world that needs peace. We need to offer that love so they can know the peace too, just like we said last Sunday. But in spite of all the difficulty, all the unrest, all the wars, all the persecution of Christians around the globe, all the hurt, we can know the Prince of Peace. He can come into your darkest moment, and He will, if we let Him, and say, peace. Peace again to you, my son, daughter, whatever, my disciples. Let me close with this. I have a lot of acquaintances that are in the pastoral ministry. I get together with pastors every week to pray with them about our communities and people and hurts. And I've been an overseer of other pastors in our denomination. And so I come in contact with lots of pastors. Some of them hurt deeply. Two of them right now, close friends of mine. One happens to be a woman pastor, one happens to be a man pastor. But close friends of mine are both separated now from their spouses. If that isn't enough, both of them have sons in trouble. One of them has sons in prison. One of them has a son that's an addict. I talk with them, I pray with them, I encourage them, I tell them we're praying for them. And in their minds, not unlike yours, there are times when they are just like, and I have been there and you have been there, we are just like the two on Emmaus, and we say, we were hoping for a different outcome. And Jesus comes back to my friends on a regular basis and says, peace. Trust me on this one. And so whatever you're going through today, friends, first of all, If you don't know Him as the Prince of Peace, please surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord before it's too late. And if you do know Him and you're on the road to Emmaus feeling, I was sure hoping for something different than that. If that's where you're at today, trust Him. And He will embrace you again when the time is just right, and He will say, peace to you. Peace. Friends, let me just close with this. Don't subscribe to the peace of the world. Only subscribe to the peace of Jesus Christ, who the Bible calls the Prince of Peace. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, repented of sin, and said, Jesus, come into my life and take over, you'll never know the peace that He will offer. Nor will you be part of His kingdom forever. Trust Him, cry out to Him, surrender to Him today. And if you have done that, praise God for that, and you are on that road, then trust Him. Trust Him. You might not see all the answers or know all the answers right now, but trust Him and remember, He will give you peace that only He can give. Let's stand and sing this last song. If you're here today and you want to be prayed over, we'll pray for you. If you're here today and want to pray at the altar, you go ahead and do that. If you're here today and you're not absolutely sure you've been born again, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have given your life to Christ and repented of sin. If you've not done that, we'd love to pray with you about that today too. If you don't have that kind of peace, Kevin will pray with you. Richard will pray with you. I will. Pastor Les is here. We'll pray with you. And if you just need some peace in your life, let one of these men pray with you today. Allow the Prince of Peace to minister to you all over again. Friends, I just want to reiterate once more, please, it will never be well in your soul until you surrender to Jesus. And I know I say that over and over, and you probably get tired of hearing it. We can go to church, we can be a member, we can have been baptized, we can do this, that, and the other thing, but if we've never surrendered to Jesus, it is never going to be well with our soul. And so please listen to the voice of God today. If He is speaking to you, if He is speaking to your heart, says, come, I love you, come follow me, then act in response to the invitation to come and be a Jesus follower. Pray with Brother Les or Richard. Pray at the altar. Pray right where you're at. It will never be well for all eternity with your soul if you don't get right with Jesus. And so let me encourage you, if you've never done that, get right with Jesus today so you can cry, hallelujah, it is well with my soul. That's your heart's desire and cry today, that you have the peace that passes understanding in your life because of Jesus. And I pray that you can say, above all else, it is well with my soul. Brother Les, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Master, we come before you again. We just thank you for this time together. And we know that we're so near the time when the trumpet will sound. And you're coming for a church that has made itself ready. Father, I just pray today that every soul here this morning will know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And Father, as we leave the sanctuary today, I pray that those people that we come in contact with will know that we have been with Jesus. You have been here to encourage us and to bless us and make us a blessing. Father, we just thank you again for this time together. We thank you for the privileges that you've provided for us. We think, Master, as a nation, we have gone like the prodigal, and we have squandered the blessings that you have given us. And as a nation, we just pray that we would turn back to Jesus. I pray that we will be a praying people. And as we go through the coming days before Jesus comes, I just pray that many, many would come into the family of God. Again, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you'd go with us, give us a good week. Use us, I pray, to introduce people to Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.